Okay. First of all, thank you for showing me how to use the machine. Now, what we're going to try to do tonight is get through some more of the shiurim. It is very possible that we won't get through everything. We have remaining for us from this semester Rabbi Simon's shiurim on mezuzah we haven't done yet, so hopefully we'll do that tonight. There's Rabbi Hirsch's shiurim gambling. There's also Rabbi Willig on Mechiras Chametz and Rabbi Ben Chaim on Mishchita and Trefos. So Ben Chaim, Mishchita and Trefos is going to be really hard to review. Honestly, I don't think we're even going to try it. Either you know what Chaim looks like or you don't. you are responsible for some of the information from there, but I just don't think that we're going to review it tonight. But we'll try to do the others if we can, and we'll see what we can do. So let's begin with Rabbi Simon Shirim. Okay, once again, tonight's shiur is brought to us by the Aaron Martha Isidore and then Blanche Rozanski Contemporary Halacha Program, and thank you for joining us. Fine. The halachos of mezuzah is all based on the simple passing of the Torah. Saftam on mezuzos be'sefel v'sha'arecha. And what we have to define is what is a bias, right, and what is a shiur. We're going to leave saftam alone. That's for the sofrim to figure out. So what's a bias? Usually we think of bias as a house, but in Hilchos Mezuzah, the Gemara at the beginning of Masechet Sukkah tells us that in Mezuzah, bias does not mean house. In Mezuzah, bias means a room that is dalet al dalet. What exactly is dalet al dalet? Well, it depends how you measure. It depends the size of the amma. Rabbi Simon always says that it's 7 feet 3 inches by 7 feet 3 inches. That's the position that Rav Moshe Feinstein has. There was a very old minhag that the Ramah mentions that they would only put a mezuzah on the house, on the front door of the house. This minhag, the Ramah himself says, is not a proper minhag. We should really put a mezuzah on every room. Okay. Question. So dalet al dalet, that's a definition of bias for mezuzah. Well, how do we measure dalet al dalet? The Rush tells us that there's a machloikis between himself and the Rambam on this point. The Rush quotes that according to the Rambam, even if it's Arko Yeser al Rochbo, even if, right, Dalet al Dalet, right, this is higher mathematics, means 4 by 4, so that would be 16 square amos. Right? According to the Rambam, the Rush says, even if it's 8 by 2, even if it's Arko Yeser al Rochbo, that would still suffice as a bias, and you'd still be chayiv in mezuzah, right? This could happen. This room that we're in right now happens to be very big. If we'd be in the other room next door, so we have to measure. It's probably dalal dalal there also, but it's actually not that wide. I don't know if it's like 7 feet wide in the other room, right? We'd have to measure it, but according to the Rambam, you'd still be chayiv in mezuzah even by 8 by 2.
Minimum?
What?
Is 2 a minimum?
No.
One arm.
Anything.
So it would be 8 by 1 inch.
1 inch, so that's a question. If it's pachos milavod, less than 3 tefachim might not be usable for anything. That's a further discussion. But for the time being, you know, according to the Rambam, it doesn't have to be 4 by 4. You could have these interesting shapes. The Rush, however, disagrees. And the Rush says that no, it has to be 4 by 4. Shulchan Aruch paskins like the Rambam. 8 by 2 lechora would be good enough, and you'd be chayiv in mezuzah. However, the Shach comments that since there are other Rishonim who disagree with the Rambam as well, it's not just the Rush. Rabbeinu Yeruchim also disagrees. This is like a general theme in the Shach, like we saw last time in Hilchos Mikvaos. Shach says, Rabbeinu Yeruchim has a different shita, and we should be choshish for Rabbeinu Yeruchim. Right, that was the Hashaka Tzmidis that we spoke about last time. Shach says, since Rabbeinu Yeruchim also disagrees with the Rambam, so therefore you should put on a mezuzah without a bracha if it is not 4 by 4. Okay? So the Shach is really choshesh for the Rush. What's interesting over here is the Taz has a comment, where the Taz says, Tamati al ksus einehem shekol gedola Yisrael. He says, everybody is like missing the boat. Because if you read the Rambam never says that 8 by 2 is good enough. There's no such Rambam. Right? What does the Rambam say? The Rambam is talking about if you have a circle. Now, if you have a circle, how do I know if it's 4x4? I don't know how many of you passed high school mathematics, right? This is Yeshiva College, Baruch Hashem, right? So if we have a circle and you want to inscribe a shape into the circle, how big does that circle have to be, right, to have dalet al dalet? That's all the Rambam means. The Rambam never gives us dimensions 8x2. The Rambam says even if it's argo yesarach, well, that means you have like a very funny oblong shape, but you could inscribe dalet al dalet inside that shape, then you're going to be chayiv in mezuzah. That's what the Rambam really says of the Taz. There is no such Rambam, right, the Taz argues, that says that you're going to be chayiv in mezuzah on 8x2. The Chazon Ish paskins like this Taz. That means that if you have our Washington Heights kitchens, right, which are very narrow and long, right, they would be 8x2, not 4x4. According to the Chazon Ish and the Taz, there's absolutely no chi of mezuzah. Right? It happens that we generally put a mezuzah on without a bracha in these situations, but Lamaisa, you should know that the Chazon Ish would say that you don't have to. Now, by the way, once you talk about Washington Heights kitchens, are they really not 4x4? If, how do you measure? Now, if you just measure the floor space, so it's takana 4x4, but let's say I take a tape measure and I measure from wall to wall, including the counters, then it would be 4x4, right? People know what kitchens look like? Yeah. So it would be 4x4 that way. So how come I'm assuming that my kitchen in Washington Heights is not 4x4? So the answer that the poskim give, if you look in the Sefer Chovas Hadar, they point out that there's a difference between movable furniture and permanent furniture. Permanent furniture, we paskin, is mema'et d'shir. If permanent furniture is in the room, so therefore that deducts from the total area. So memeil on my kitchen in Washington Heights, once I take away the counters, I no longer have something that is going to be 4x4. Other acharinim are still hesitant. They say, 1 second, maybe it only takes away if it goes all the way up to the ceiling. But over here, I have usable space on the sides, no? I put stuff. And we'll talk later about Beis HaOtzer, about areas where I store stuff, whether it's chayiv and mezuzah. But I can store stuff on top of my counters, no? So how come I'm assuming that it's putter? So it's not so clear what the answer to that kasha is, but Rav Shachter's Nusach always, when he deals with this, is he says that Hilchos Mezuzah was written for midgets. Right? You know, people who are closer to the ground. We don't deal with people who can use the space higher up. That's the way Rav Shachter understands it. Okay, so let's go back to where we began. Hilchos Mezuzah, you need a bias. Bias is 4x4. Are you ever chayiv on something that is pachos midalet al dalet? And what emerges is that there is two or three chiyuvim, even though it's pachos midalet al dalet, two or three different reasons why you could be chayiv. The first is a base shahr. If you look in the Pisrei Tshuva, in Simin Reish Pei Vav Sivkot and Yud Aleph, so the Pisrei Tshuva points out that a base shahr, which is a vestibule, for example, you open up the front door in any apartment in Washington Heights, and you have like a very narrow area. So who says you chayiv in mezuzah? Who says your front door is chayiv in mezuzah? No? You open it up, there's no dalet al dalet. Well, the answer is that's a vestibule. That's a area that is supposed to lead to something else. A base shahr is going to be chayiv even pachos midalet al dalet. Moreover, we have Rabbi Simon's favorite issue in the whole world. Yeah? We have the comment of Rabbi Akiva Eiger. Now, there's a standard understanding of Rabbi Akiva Eiger, and then there's the modern razzle-dazzle mahalach. Rabbi Akiva Eiger has a chiddush when it comes to closets. Let's say a walk-in closet. And Minchas Yitzchak points out in the tshuva that if it's a closet that you just hang stuff up in, that's garnished. But if you have a walk-in closet, so Rabbi Akiva Eiger comments that he thinks that a walk-in closet, if you go derech busier than I thought. Rabbi Kiviger points out that if you have a walk-in closet, so that is considered like the outside of the house, he says. And it's chayiv b'mezuzah mitzad ha-gadol sheyotze mimenu derech pesach zu lecheder katan v'yehei nidon cheder katan ka'avir z'mikomokom chayiv kilu yotze mipesach zu l'shok. Right, so what does this mean? It means that this little walk-in closet, right, you have to learn how to conceptualize it. It's not really a closet. It's really like an outside area from the house. So just like when I go from outside my house into my house, I have a mezuzah, where the chora going into the house, so also the standard understanding of Rebbe Kiva Eger is that from a walk-in closet, you have a mezuzah going out, right? Going out of the closet into the normal house. This is the standard understanding of Rebbe Kiva Eger. Now, is the closet dalar al dalar? No, it's not. But even so, I'm going to be chayiv in mezuzah because I view it like it's chutz labayis. I view it like it's the outside area of the house. That's the chiddush of Rebbe Kiva Eger as is commonly understood. And by the way, this is what Rav Shechter paskins. Rav Shechter paskins that walk-in closets get mezuzahs leaving the closet going into your house. Rabbi Simon has a yesod. He gets up and he walks around the room and he tells you, he says, no, if you understand Rabbi Kiva Eger this way, that contradicts everything we know about Hilchos Mezuzah because there's no backtracking. How come every door only has one mezuzah? Right? I could go through this door that way, I could go through the door this way. Right? Doors go both ways. So if that's the case, if a door goes both ways, so how come I only have one mezuzah? Maybe I should have two mezuzahs on the door. Right? Teretz is that you decide what's the major way, and we'll talk about that in a few minutes. What's the main usage? And whatever the main usage is, that's where you put the mezuzah up. The other thing, you forget about. So we don't backtrack. We don't assume, well, you go in and out. Right? No, you only go in. Memela, you can't have a mezuzah going out of the walk-in closet. In fact, this is really what the Chamudei Daniel says. The Chamudei Daniel here, quoted in the Pischei Tshuva, says that if you have od nerab, mishi yeshol bayis gadol, v'yeshol chadorim ketanim lohaniach shom chafotzim, that sounds like a closet, t'chayovim b'mezuzah. A small closet, even though it's not dalar al dalar, is chayiv in mezuzah. What's the hesber of this shita? So the Rashash at the beginning of Sukkah explains that the din dalar al dalar is an area that is used for dira. An area that's not used for dira doesn't have the din of dalar al dalar. My closet, I don't use it for dira, I use it for storage, I don't live there, right? So memela, I have a mezuzah on my closet, and a chanami, but my mezuzah is going into the closet, not coming out of the closet. Now, this is the shita of the Chamudei Daniel. In fact, Rabbi Simon pointed out, you know, like, there's Mavliya, this under his breath, Rabbi Abari, also paskins, right, that what? Like the Chamudei Daniel, like Rabbi Kiva Eger. So Rabbi Abari paskins like neither. Rabbi Abari says, let's go back to the beginning of the shir. The chiyuv of mezuzah is really uchsavta mezuzos beisecha on the bayis. Zok the rashash in sukkah less than dalal al dalal. It's not a base dira, so why would I be chayiv if it's not bayis? Why am I chayiv at all? Right? It would seem, and Rabbi Simon sounds like he paskins this way lemaisa, that the walk-in closets aren't really a bayis. If you want, you could put up a mezuzah anyway al tchumra, like we'll speak about later in terms of base kinesis, right? Bayis shel kedusha also isn't technically chayiv a mezuzah. You want to hang up a mezuzah? Ma tovu ma noim. You don't lose anything. But where do you put it in? Zok Rabbi Simon, going into the walk-in closet, not coming out of the walk-in closet, because Rabbi Simon does not hold of backtracking. Backtracking contradicts all of mezuzah. Not only that, but Rabbi Simon pointed out, Moshe Tuchman pointed out, and together with Chavrus Eliyahu Zarowski, right? You have to say it in the right nusach, that if you read Rabbi Kiva Eger slowly, it could be that Rabbi Akiva Eiger is not saying that the mezuzah goes on the walk-in closet going into the house. Rather, right, all Rabbi Akiva Eiger says is that we view the walk-in closet like it's the outside. It could be that we view the walk-in closet like it's outside of the house, and I put a mezuzah going outside of the house. Right? For example, let's say I have a door that's only an exit, not an entrance. Is it chayiv and mezuzah? Emergency exits. We have one in the base medrash, no? I meant to check this afternoon. Does anyone remember, is there a mezuzah on the emergency exit in the front of the base medrash? We should check during Ma'ariv. Okay? So, is there a chayiv and mezuzah on an emergency exit? Rav Moshe is quoted by Rabbi Felder in his Ahala Yeshurun that there is no chiyuv mezuzah on emergency exits. Because the din of an exit, the din of a Pesach, is something that's made for knisa, something that's made for yetziyah. Right? There's no chiyuv at all. But you could read Rabbi Akiva Eiger, punkt fakeret, that Rabbi Akiva Eiger is saying that an emergency exit has chiyuv in mezuzah going out. Right? Because that's what he's saying. He's saying that the closet is like the outside of the house. And according to this razzle-dazzle understanding of Rabbi Akiva Eiger, right, Rabbi Akiva Eiger says, therefore, put a mezuzah going into the closet, which means going out of the house. It's not a door that's made for coming in, it's a door that's made for going out. Even so, yichayev a mezuzah. It happens that there's really three shitas over here on this emergency exit shayla. Right? The first shita is that you are putter entirely from mezuzah because it's not made for knisa. Second shita is Rabbi Akiva Eiger that it's made for yetziyah and you put a mezuzah going out. And Rav Shechter has a shita that you put a mezuzah on an emergency exit going in. It's all Rav Shechter shita, so he understands like the standard pshat in Rabbi Akiva Eiger, not like this razzle dazzle pshat. But that will take a minute to think about, yeah. Because it's leaving a bias going out, just like the knisa enochanami. The din of mezuzah is mitzad the bias, but it's a yitziyah on the bias. The halacha is that a pesach isn't only something that goes into, but it's pesach habayis. What? Well, the closet's the outside, but so there's
you're
a door.
The
I'm leaving
you're
my
leaving
house. I'm leaving a bias.
You're leaving the outside.
What?
You're leaving the outside.
I'm leaving the bias to go to the outside.
No, you're going in the house.
No, I'm leaving the house to go into the closet. The closet's not in the house.
Oh, okay.
Right, the closet's viewed as... That's clear in Rabbi Akiva Eiger. The closet's used being outside the house. Yeah.
Just a clarification. If I said before that there was Simon goes like the Talmud Daniel and Rav Shechter goes like the...
Rabbi Simon would say that if Me'ikar had in a closet as potter from mezuzah, if you want to put it up going into the closet, like the Chamude Daniel. And Rabbi Simon then says, and even Rabbi Akiva Eiger holds that you should put it going into the closet. Yeah.
So he reinterprets for
okay. He reinterprets the Rabbi Akiva Eiger. That's the razzle dazzle pshat, right? The fancy pshat Rabbi Akiva Eiger. Yeah. So that Rabbi Simon didn't explain. That would be hard to say because Beis Shear is pretty explicit in poskim. You have to figure it out. It's not necessarily muchach that no vestibule is chayiv. It could be this a separate chiyuv of shear. Remember, chsach mezuzas b'sechov b'sharecha. How do you understand shear? That would be the hemshach of the shear. So it could be a Beis Shear is chayiv, but a closet is not. Okay. There is other discussions in Shulchan Aruch, checking mezuzahs, right? So you're supposed to check mezuzahs with some reish tzadi aleph. I'm not going in any particular order now. You're supposed to check mezuzahs twice every 7 years. Rabbi Simon mentioned that Rabbi Shlomo Zalman Arbach is quoted as saying that Bizman has said we no longer check mezuzahs twice every 7 years. The reason to do that is because the reason you have to check mezuzahs is because maybe they become puzzle. But bezmanas are, all of our mezuzahs are indoors, they don't become puzzle, they're encased nicely, it's really not a problem. Similarly for tefillin, it's also a good idea not to check your tefillin so often, no? Because when you check them, you open them up, so it's more likely that moisture will get inside, especially if you have the practice of showering before shacharis. That's a good way to ruin your tefillin. It's all the same in Shlomo Zalman. He puts the two things together. Fine. There is a big discussion. Let's get back to bias. So what about a base ha'otzar? Let's say bias usually means a place where I live, dira. Let's say I have something that's an otzar. I store stuff there. Am I chayiv in mezuzah? Well, the Rambam says that you are potter for mezuzah. According to the Rambam, you need real dira. It has to be tashmish adam. The Rosh understands, conversely, that you're chayiv in mezuzah on base ha'otzar. Shulchan Aruch paskins that you're chayiv in mezuzah and does not even quote the position of the Rambam. Right? That's radical, no? Usually the Mechaber in Shulchan Aruch is straight Rambam. Over here, he doesn't even quote the Rambam. So you would think that you should not worry about this Rambam kihuzah. However, Reb David Feinstein says that on the base of oats, on the storage area, you should put up a mezuzah but without a bracha. To be choshish for the Rambam, you shouldn't make a bracha. That's just in terms of, right, Rabbi Chalap always says that contemporary halacha, one of the jobs is that we're supposed to teach how the methodology of halacha and how we go about passing a shayla. So one of the shaylas about passing a shayla is what shitos do you consider? A shita that doesn't make it to Shulchan Aruch, are you mitzarif that shita at all? So Reb David Feinstein says, yeah, even though the Rambam isn't quoted, you shouldn't make a bracha when you put up a mezuzah on the base of otzer. But Lamaisa, the Rambam's not quoted in Shulchan Aruch. So the pash this is that Shulchan Aruch would tell you that you should put it up and make a bracha, lach'ora. Now, this leads us to the issue of garages. Are garages chayiv and mezuzah or not? So the pash this is that a garage should be a base of otzer. Rabbi Simon quoted, however, from Rabbi Abari and from others, that one could say that maybe a garage isn't chayiv mezuzah. It could be that the chayiv of a beis ha'otzer is only if the beis ha'otzer is somehow connected to your bias. But if I have a freestanding garage, right, if the garage is attached to the house, maybe it's different. Let's say you have a freestanding garage that's not attached to the house, it could be that's not chayiv mezuzah at all, because it's not mitzuraf to the bias. Another nafkamin in the same question, when people get married, those of you who are married should stay that way, those of you who aren't married should get married in Yetz Hashem, right? So when you get married, usually you take an apartment. So you take an apartment, so you move your stuff in before you yourself move in. When does the chiyuv mezuzah begin? Does it begin from when you move your stuff in? At that point, it's a beis ha'otzar. Well, we pass in the Shulchan Aruch like the Rosh. Beis ha'otzar is chayiv mezuzah. Okay, so you make a bracha, you don't make a bracha. But hold it. According to this razzle-dazzle svar of Rabbi Abari, right, there's no chiyuv mezuzah when I move my stuff into the apartment. Because the chiyuv mezuzah on beis ha'otzar is only because the beis ha'otzar is tuffle to my own dira. In this situation, I don't have any dira in this apartment. I don't live in the apartment yet. So I can't say that it's tough. I can't say that I'm going to be chayiv. You're only chayiv when you mamish move in. Good. So that's a discussion about garages. I don't really understand the whole discussion because beis ha'otzer we put in Shulchan Aruch together with beis ha'bakar. My impression is that beis ha'bakar wasn't really tough to the house. I just don't understand. So I'm not exactly so sure of the whole svara, but okay, to say there. Let's continue. There's a discussion about stores. Are stores chayiv in mezuzah or not? Now, it says in Shulchan Aruch that there's no real, right? Look in Reish Pevav Sifur Aleph, Sukkas Hachag B'Chag, Bayis Shebesvina, and Chanuyos Shebeshvakim are potter from mezuzah. Right? There's no chayiv mezuzah on the store. Why? Because it's Diras Arai. You don't live there all the time. So, your office, there's no chiyuv mezuzah. You don't live there all the time. Is that true? There's lots of people I know who spend more time in their office than they spend at home. L'chore, they should be chayiv in mezuzah. The Taz, however, over here, has a chiddush. He says, no. The reason why offices are potter is because you're not there at night. Right? Even if you're there 9 to 5, all day, every day, but you're not there at night, you don't sleep over, so therefore you're going to be potter. It's by definition considered arai. However, there's another shita. the Prisha says that you have to read this din like it's all a hemshach. Sukkos hachag b'chag and chanuyos shebishvakim. What does that mean? Just like a sukkos hachag b'chag is something that is up only for a few days a year, right? Sukkah on sukkos is up. And that's the joke. You know, the guy builds a structure and then the government wants to tell him he has to close it down, he has to knock it down because it's not zoned, so they give him 10 days to knock it down. It's a temporary structure, right? They'll give you 10 days to knock it down, but it's not such a big deal. You have the whole yontif anyway. So sukkah is a temporary structure. Could be the chanuyu shebishvakim also. We're talking about the marketplace, we're talking about the time of year when people go to market and right, they have a fair, and that's when they have their store. So that's what's pater. Chanuyos, not every chanus, but chanuyos shebeshvakim. That's what the Prisha's medayik. A store that you have during the fair. Memela, a regular store, would be chayiv in mezuzah. Lamaisa, people put mezuzahs on their offices. Most often they don't make brachos. There's also questions that come up on yeshivos. Are they chayiv in mezuzah? The din in Shulchan Aruch is that a base kinesis is not chayiv in mezuzah. Right? A base kinesis is not chayiv in mezuzah because it's a dirish al kedusha. Base medrash, it's 2 days in Shulchan Aruch, in Resh Pei Vav Sif Yud, whether it's chayiv in mezuzah or not. Generally, we assume that in the base medrash, since the Talmidei Chachamim live there all day, so that's why it's more dira than the base kinesis. In the base medrash, there's more reason to be chayiv in mezuzah. Right? This is one of the cases of dreams in halacha. No, Maharami Rutenberg had a bad dream that he was going to get punished or something because there's no mezuzah in his base medrash. Fine. So, should you have mezuzahs on yeshivas? So over here, most places you have mezuzahs on yeshivas. Why? Lachari, there's no real need to. It's a dirish al kedusha, but why not? Right? You can put it up if you want to. That's what we mentioned. Reb Moshe Ben Tshuva entertains that maybe if you're not chayiv a mezuzah, you shouldn't put it up at all because it's a bezayin to the mezuzah. But lamaisa, we put it up anyway. Well, Reb Moshe entertains that idea. What's interesting though is that you have to realize that a yeshiva might really be potter from mezuzah. That's what Rav Shechem Nefesh HaRav has a story when they built the first hall and the Rav was walking around. He says, how come we're talking about putting up mezuzahs over here? Isn't this a yeshiva? We're not chayiv and mezuzahs. Why are we wasting the money? So they point out, oh no, it's also a college. Okay, fine. It's also a college. It's a zayin. Right? The Rav didn't really remember. So if we're saying that there's really no chayiv of mezuzah in the yeshiva, with the exception of the dormitories of the yeshiva where people really live, so memela, all the shilas that come up, for example, elevators. Elevators are complicated shilas in Hilchos Mezuzah. The first floor, maybe you should have a mezuzah going in to the elevator. That would be like the Chamudi Daniel shila. It's an area that's not really dalet al dalet. Okay, so maybe you have a mezuzah going in. On the subsequent floors, you should have a mezuzah going out, l'chayra, because it's a base shar. It leads into the hallway. But one could argue that in the yeshiva there's no need to have mezuzahs on the elevators because even if you're usually chayiv on elevators, which itself is a question, but in the yeshiva because there is no chayiv to begin with, so you can't say that a base shar to something that has no chayiv is going to be chayiv. Good? This is basically the end of the first Rabbi Simon shir. The second shir began by discussing what sha'ar is. So beisecha, we spoke about what is bish'arecha. So Rashi has a chiddush where he says that sha'ar is only chayiv if it's rubo Yisrael. Rabbi Simon pointed out paradoxically that what would emerge is that Yerushalayim ir hakodesh, which has walls and their sha'arim, would be putter from mezuzah because l'dav oninu it's not rubo Yisrael, but Seagate in Brooklyn is rubo Yisrael, and there would be a chi of mezuzah on the sha'arim. Now, so the first thing about sha'ar is it's got to be rubo Yisrael. Second thing about sha'ar is there's a shuvas harambam that the Rambam wrote to chachmei lunil. The Rambam has a chiddush that you need doors to be chayiv in mezuzah. Where did the Rambam get this from? He got it from Sha'ar. That's the way the Rambam understood. We paskin in Shulchan Aruch that you're chayiv a mezuzah even without a door, but on a doorway that doesn't have a door, so you put up a mezuzah without a bracha in deference to the shita of the Rambam. So therefore, in like the common apartments in Washington Heights, the only rooms that are really chayiv a mezuzah are the bedrooms. No? Because you need a door, and it's got to be an area that's dalet al dalet l'maisa, anything besides the bedroom might not be chayiv in most of our apartments, so you make a bracha on the bedroom, and you have in mind for everything else. Now, the question that comes up is, where do you put a mezuzah? The Gemara in Menachos says that you always put mezuzah on the right side. Well, the right side is kind of a non sequitur, because the right side going from which direction? So the Gemara says that we follow Hekar Tzir. Right? Hekar Tzir in our common understanding means, which way does the door open? Some doors open going in, some doors open going out. The way that the door opens is where you put the mezuzah. Right? The base medrash door is open going out, the door to this room opens going in. Right? So Hekar Tzir for this room would be going into the room for the right side, going into the room for the base medrash lechora should be right side going out of the room. Even so, we don't have that. We have in the base medrash the mezuzah is going into the room. Why that would be is because of the following reason. What Rabbi Simon says, because we're not Chabad. Chabad follows Hekar Tzir, at least most of us. Chabad follows Hekar Tzir, and that's it. But most people have five rules that we follow. The first and primary rule is min p'tur l'chiyuv. When you go from the outside, which is not chayiv and mezuzah, into an area that is chayiv and mezuzah, right? So then you put it going in. Reason, and these are the orders, right? This is the order in sequence. Second one is could be, yeah. I mean, in other words, it's a safek chiyuv in those cases. But p'tur l'chiyuv, what's interesting to think about is the base medrash, right? How do we paskin? Do we assume that base medrash is really chayiv mezuzah, or really not chayiv mezuzah? 2 days in Shulchan Aruch, it could be that the base medrash is technically p'tur, and the hallway might have more of a chiyuv because the hallway, right, leads to other rooms. It's theoretically possible to conceive of it this way, which would force us to reverse our mezuzahs on the base medrash. Okay. So rule number one is p'tur l'chiyuv. Rule number two is that when you have two rooms, and one room is an outer room, one room is an inner room, so the inner room is always what you go into. Okay? You don't go out of the inner room. Fine. Rule number three is that you follow the flow of traffic. Rule number four is that you follow the hishtamshus, which room do you use more often? And rule number five is that you follow Hekar Tzir. So for us, even though Hekar Tzir is mentioned in the Gemara, we keep it last. And these things can change. Mashal Ma'adav Adomim, when my parents moved into their house, so they put up all the mezuzahs assuming that they would use the front door. As things worked out, my parents never used their front door. I don't think I've ever been to the front door of my parents' house. So a few years ago, we reversed all the mezuzahs. We went through the house again, and right, everything's starting from the back door, and a lot of them just got turned around.
You make a new bracha?
Yes. Yeah, you should make a new bracha when you do it. Even when you take a mezuzah down to check it, so we assume that you make a new bracha. Certainly when you change the side, you make a new bracha. Sliding doors is a shiloh, whether it's chayiv, or that's considered a door or not. Rabbi Moshe said that it's pater. Rabbi Simon assumes that it's chayiv in Rabbi Simon's article. I think he did not say over this nakuda from his article in the shir. That article, by the way, is very kedai to read. The English article on the back of the thing. Where you put up a mezuzah, you put a mezuzah on the top third of the doorpost, the lower part of the top third. The Yerushalmi, however, says if it's very tall, what very tall is, we're not exactly sure, probably anything above shoulder level, so then you put it up where you can reach it. There's a din of schirus that in Eretz Yisrael, when you rent your chayiv right away, in Chutz La'aretz, you're not going to be chayiv until Yom Lamed. What does that mean? There's a big chiddush of the Nesivos in the Siddur Derech HaChayim that you are going to be chayiv right away if you will rent it for more than 30 days. Some posts can follow the Nesivos. That's one reason that you should say that even though the Gemara says that Tzchiris and Chutzlars is not chayv until Yom La'ameh, but maybe you should put the mezuzah right away, because if you have something, you know that you'll be living there for more than 30 days, then you're chayiv right away. There's another reason to assume that you're chayiv right away, which is that if you, Rav Shach has a piece in the Sefer, which is quoted in Rabbi Simon's packet, that if you're socher bayis mi'akum, so we assume that Tzchiris is kanya l'chumra, right, that we follow the din of the Malchusa l'chumra, this is other discussions in Shulchan Aruch, and therefore you're going to be chayiv right away. That's l'maisa what people tell you to do. When you move into an apartment, you put up a mezuzah right away. However, generally you do not make a bracha on the mezuzah until Yom Lamed, right, or Yom Lamed Aleph. The preferable thing is that you take the mezuzah down and then you put it back up and you make a bracha. If you can't do that, if it's difficult, so then you just put your hand on it and you make a bracha on Yom Lamed or Yom Lamed Aleph. Okay, ad kan the mezuzah shiurim. Anything else to talk about? Any other questions, or should we move on? Nesivus is talking about chutzlaretz. That the din of lamig yoyim is only if you won't be there for 30 days. There's no chiyuv. You will be there for 30 days, and there's a full-fledged chiyuv. Okay, Rabbi Hirsch spoke about gambling. He began his share by saying gambling is really, really bad. Not only is gambling bad socially. Let's do gambling. There's more in gambling, and maybe we could talk. And maybe if guys would want tomorrow night, we could do the B'dikas Chametz Shir later. Also, we could try that. But let's try to get through gambling now. Also, we could finish it up in a few minutes. The post-game. Not only do the psychologists and everyone who has had any exposure to gambling say it's really bad, but the poskim say that gambling is a terrible thing. There's a discussion even in the Encyclopedia Pachad Yitzchak of a plague that happened in the town of Cremona in 1576, which the Rabbonim attributed to the fact that people gambled. Someone who gambled, according to the Sefer Charedim, is not allowed to be on the Chevra Kadisha. Gambling is very, very bad. If someone gambles, send him for help. There are good organizations. Fine. Now, is gambling a gambler? Mesachik b'kuvya, is he pasul la'edos min ha'tayra, is he pasul la'edos mit rabbonon? L'mayin afgamino, who cares, right? Pasul is pasul. Well, okay, a few nafgaminas, right? First nafkamina is that by psulim derabbanan we assume that you're not pasul until this hachrasa, until the bezdin announces that shmeral is pasul eidos because he gambled, he's not pasul. That's only by psulim derabbanan. By psulim derabbanan, you're pasul right away. The second thing is that the Gemara in Yevama says that we relax the standard of eidos when it comes to eidos isha to say that a husband is dead so that the woman can remarry. We're more makel. And psulei edus midrabbanan are kosher la edus isha. So what's the din of mesachek b'kuvya? So Tosfos points out in Sanhedrin that when the Mishnah says mesachek b'kuvya, it really means that mesachek b'kuvya are pasul la edus on the level of midrabbanan. Why? Why should be pasul midrabbanan? According to one opinion in the Gemara, asmachta lo kanya. Right, there are two opinions in the Gemara. Is it because of asmachta, or is it because you're not osik b'yishuv shel olam? The Rambam somehow complicates matters. He puts them together. But if it's because you're asmachta lo kanya, if I'm not kona, that means I'm a gazlan. A gazlan, I should be pasul la'edus min ha'Torah. So how come you're only pasul midrabbanan? Right? L'chora, right? There was no das machna. That's what asmachta means. Asmachta means that I never have in mind to really be machna to you. Right? And if I don't have full das, every kinyan involves a das machna, das kona, and a maisa kinyan. If I don't have full das to be machna to you, so you don't own it. So you should be a gazlan. How come you only pass a midrabbanon? So Tosis says because you're b'shogeg. Tosis's lashon is, eino sover la'asos iser. Right? You don't think you're doing an iser. So therefore, you're only pasul midrabbanon, you're not pasul min ha'tayra. The real source of asmachta is a Mishnah in the Gemara in Baba Basra in Kuf Samaches. Misha par mitzvah kovo, a guy owes $1,000, pays up $500, and he says, if I don't pay back within X number of times, so then double the chov, something like that. So that's a machlokas hatanai, whether asmachta is kanya or not. What complicates matters is there's a machlokas harishonim, how to understand the machlokas hatanayim. Right? Most Rishonim understand the machlokas is on the level of the oraisa. In other words, the man, the Amar, who says asmach the lo kanya, would tell you that on the level of the oraisa, you're a full-fledged gazlan. Right? Might be a gazlan b'shogi, Taisa says, but a gazlan. However, the Mordechai has a fancy shita. The Mordechai assumes that even if asmach the lo kanya, what that means is on the level of the oraisa, you are kona, and the chachamer mafkiya the kinyan. So only midrabbanan are you not kona. That's one important shita to discuss. Another important shita that Rabbi Hirsch mentioned is another Mordechai. The Mordechai points out that asmachta is only, well, I think I'm going to win. So therefore I don't have das machna. Why do I think I'm going to win? Because I'm the world's best chess player. And I know I could beat this guy. So there's skill involved. I think I'm going to win. That's why it's not kona. I have no das. I don't think I'll lose. There's no way I could lose. Right? But if it's a game of luck, so then asmachta would be kanya. That's what the Mordechai in Shavuah says. What's fascinating over here is that if we could just skip ahead in the shir for a minute. Rabbi Hirsch wanted to say that lamaisa, gambling, is definitely usur. However you side on the asmachta issue, right? Gambling is for sure usur, because the Gemara in Shabbos has a case of a guy who wants to make a deal with his kids for covered Shabbos, that one gets a money gedola, one gets a money katan. The Gemara says that's usur, you can't do that, because, right, mishum kuvya. It's usur, gezeira atu gambling. Now, Taisus understands that that Gemara is only going according to the Manda Amar, that gambling is really usur according to Manda Amar, smachta lo kanya. But the Chedushei Haran in Shabbos points out that the Gemara is saying that there's an isser even if asmachta is kanya, but still ktsas isser yesh bedover. Even if it's kaina, right, listen, the Gemara says that I can be kona wallet on Shabbos also. There's an isser, but you're kona, no? So that's the issue. Even if asmachta is kanya, but you shouldn't do it, there's an isser. And that ran is quoted by the Magen Avraham on the Shulchan Aruch and Hilchos Shabbos. So lamaisa, no matter what you're going to say, maybe you're kona, but it still is usur to gamble. Now, if that's the case, does that mean everything is usur? You can't play any games? Right? Any games you can't play? So obviously you have to say what the Shulte Giborim says, that there's a difference between games of chance and games of luck. But it ends up being fakert. That Shulte Giborim concludes that games of luck is going to be usur, and games of chance, right, and games of skill are going to be mutter. It ends up being the exact opposite of what the Mordechai suggested. It's an interesting point to make. Let's go back to asmachta for a second. Rabbi Hirsch just mentioned very quickly in this year that there's a difference in the very definition of asmachta between what the Rambam says and what Taisus says. According to Taisus, asmachta, again, means I don't have real das machna, therefore it should be gezel. The Rambam understands that usually his chayvus on the tnai works. That's the way the Rambam understands the growing ksubas naf kuf beis. But if I just have plain das on the tnai, right, without any real maisik, without any maisa at all, that doesn't work. So if there would be a maisa, somehow if you have ma'os al hadaf, you have some sort of maisa that's going on, then that would not really be a problem. It might be a problem of not being osik b'yeshuva sha'olam, but that problem is only if you do it as your main profession. If you have a job and you only gamble on the weekends, so it could be there's no problem. Right? Could be there's no problem. Or if you gamble from Goyim, right? From Goyim, there's no real Isser Gezel. The Rambam again has two Isurim, Gezel and Osik Bishuv Sha'olam. So if I gamble from Goyim on an occasional basis, so it could be there's not going to be an Isser. Okay, so that's again, Asmachta is defined by Taisus, Asmachta is defined by the Rambam. And the main reason why gambling, no matter how you side on Asmachta, right? even if it's kona, but lamais it's going to be a problem because of this gemara in Shabbos that there's a gezeira mishum kuvya. Rabbi Hirsch mentioned at the end of his year that there's a few other reasons why we could ask for gambling no matter what. One is that Rabbi Aaron Soloveitchik in the tradition article quoted from the Sefer HaChinuch that anything that's addictive is a issa d'oraisa v'lo sasur achilu v'avchem v'achreinechem, which is very interesting, right? So it's also to engage in addictive behavior.
Does he include like drinking coffee?
Yeah, so that's someone asked Rabbi Hirsch. Rabbi Willig would say yeah. Rabbi Willig mamish is like not into coffee at all. I don't know. It's hard to know exactly. It's hard to know. So that's one reason to aser gambling. Other reasons to aser gambling could be because Rabbi Hirsch says that we apply principle mi'ik amidi to yisor shari ula akum aser. Anything that goyim can't do because it looks so bad to goyim. In goyish society, today, gambling is looked down upon to such an extent, so it can't be that that's going to be mutter. This reason seems to me to be very similar to Novel versus Hatayra, but Rabbi Hirsch quoted them as two separate reasons. Right, there are two separate reasons. One is this mi'ik amidi, and the other is the notion of novel versus Satora. But whatever it is, gambling is a problem. Okay, any questions the next minute on Rabbi Hirsch's share?
Can you explain the Rambam's understanding of
Asmachta? Yeah, so the Rambam's understanding of Asmachta is that it's only a problem because there's no real kinyan going on. It's only a problem because it's just pure das kona without any maisa kinyan at all. If I have any sort of maisa kinyan, so then it's not going to be a asmachta according to the Rambam. Das on a tnai is asmachta, but if I make a maisa kinyan on a tnai for the chalos, that's not asmachta. It's just a different understanding, and the Rambam just reads the Gemara completely differently. I don't know if it's really so. You know, the sugya of gambling is a sugya of asmachta, but for our purposes, if you want to aser gambling, so there are many other reasons to do it without asmachta. That's really what Rabbi Hirsch argued. So if guys are interested, we could do Rabbi Willig tomorrow night. Honestly, Rabbi Willig's Mechiras Chometz is not that much. Rabbi Ben Chaim, I really have no idea how I could review that shir without like looking at videos and showing stuff. The videos are online. Yeah. Right. If guys don't have them, we could email them to you. If guys are interested in pictures from the Shechita trip. Now the test is going to be a week from Thursday, May 10th. There was no independent learning this semester, so it will be 10 out of 12 questions that you have to answer. Basically, if you know the shiurim, you'll do fine. It shouldn't be that hard, but you got a chaz, you have to know the stuff. And if anyone has suggestions for contemporary halacha topics going forward, so please. So I think guys want tomorrow night. Oh, there is shiur tomorrow, yeah. Dr. Warburg. I mean, I said maybe tomorrow, maybe we should cancel tomorrow night.
Okay,
so, I mean, the Rabbi Willig shiur will leave on your own, the Rabbi Ben Chaim shiur.
I was there for the Rabbi Ben Chaim.
I don't know.
What's tomorrow?